Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, recently I was talking to a guy about Hallmark movies. I know it's not usually the thing guys talk about, but he was the one who brought it up. I even forget how I got on it. I told him I've never watched any of them, but he said his wife likes to watch them. And he admitted that he'll watch them with her, quote, if the leading lady is attractive. If I have to sit there for a couple hours and watch this thing, I might as well look at a pretty woman, he said. Then he told me, the storylines are all pretty much the same. Once you've seen one, you've seen them all. And I told him that I saw a thing online recently that said the same thing. It said, every Hallmark movie is a story of a professional woman down on love who moves to a small town. She meets a handsome bachelor who teaches her the meaning of love. Eventually, she learns to love again. They kiss out in the snow, and there's a dog. The guy I was talking to laughed and said, yeah, and if you put a wreath on the door behind him, it's a Christmas movie. The reason I share this is because of his line about the wreath on the door. Right? Is that what makes something Christmassy? Just put decorations on the wall? Right? The story could happen any other time of the year. And with Hallmark movies, they do happen at any other time of the year. But you hang a wreath up and boom, it's Christmas. And yes, there are certain decorations we put up that make it kind of obvious what time of year it is. But is that really what makes something Christmassy, though? I mean, there's nothing wrong with decorations, but the real thing that makes it Christmas is Jesus, right? We know that. But we're still in Advent. We're still in this time of waiting and preparation. So despite what our culture says, the Christmas season starts with Christmas Day. It does not end with Christmas Day. So then, how are we supposed to prepare for Christmas? How do we get ready for this coming of Christ? In other words, how do we show people that we're Christian aside from the decorations that we put up? What else can we do? Well, listen to what John says in today's gospel reading. After people heard his call to repent and they were baptized, they asked him, what then should we do? First, the crowds ask him, and he says, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. The tax collectors then asked the same question, what should we do? And he said, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Even the soldiers ask him, what should we do? And he said, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, but be satisfied with your wages. What should we do? Be generous. Give to others. Help those in need. And this time of year, plenty of people do that. Right? They give to clothing drives and toy drives. They donate to charities, they reach out to their neighbors, and all that's wonderful. That's good stuff. It's not that revolutionary of an idea. But on the other hand, it might be. Because you see, many people are generous this time of year because during the rest of the year, they're not. They live focused on themselves, and they're only generous when they can get a last-minute tax write-off for it. Right, maybe that's a harsh thing to say. Maybe that's too big a brushstroke. But even so, this is why repentance is so important. It's a call to live a new way, all the time, not just in December. Right, this is why John called the people, you brood of vipers. You don't call somebody that if they're already being kind and loving to each other. You don't tell someone to be generous if they already are. I mean, think of it like this. You've heard about cases where somebody does something wrong and then they're told to do community service. I've always been a bit puzzled by this. Right, we're supposed to find joy in serving our community, but here it gets turned into a punishment. There is no way this would motivate someone to take care of others after they do their required hours. But then it dawned on me why judges tell people to do this. It's almost like the judge is saying, you made some bad choices. You should have been helping others, not thinking of yourself. So now, go out and do what you should have been doing all along. In the same way, think about how some schools require their students to do so many hours of community service. The students haven't done anything wrong, but they still need to serve. That's because the school is saying, this is how you live as caring citizens. You take care of your neighbor. So go out and do it. John is not giving out punishments to the people here. He's telling them that this is just what you do as a new person. So imagine what happens to those crowds and tax collectors and soldiers after they leave John and go back home. Their co-workers and neighbors and fellow soldiers probably wondered why in the world they were doing these things. Because that's not the way the world normally works. This isn't the way the system operates. Why were they looking out for neighbor when the world says look out for number one? Why were they taking care of the little guy instead of stepping on him on their way to the top? Why were they treating others with respect instead of treating them as a means to an end? Because this is just what you do as new people. Right? It's like driving on a one-way road. If somebody's coming the other direction, then clearly one of you is going the wrong way. And John says, it is not you who have been made new who are going the wrong way. It's the rest of the world around you. John is calling us to go against the flow of the rest of the world. And that sounds great. But maybe some of us here think that we're already driving in the right direction. We're already generous and loving and care for others. We already serve our community of our own accord. Well, before we strain a muscle trying to pat ourselves on the back, let's remember that if we're focused on how good we are, then we've missed the point. John called people to repent. He called them to make better choices. And he gave them specific things to do. But it really wasn't about them at all. It was always and only and forever about Jesus. Remember, John was calling people to change their lives to prepare for the coming of Christ. He was calling them to change the way they live, so that others would know that they're committed to Christ. Right? Anybody can be nice and generous to others. And this time of year, plenty of people are. But the reason we do what we do is because of Jesus. And that's not just semantics. That's not just a churchy way of saying be nice to others. Right? The Christian life looks the way it does because of Jesus. Think back to the first Sunday of Advent a couple weeks ago when we heard one of those end of the world texts. I said there's a line that often gets attributed to Luther which says, if I knew the world was going to end tomorrow, I would plant a tree today. Why plant a tree? Because we hope in Christ. If the rest of the world knew the world was going to end tomorrow, they would probably do whatever they could for themselves today. But we don't. We look for signs of new life in the world, not signs of the end times. And that hope makes us live differently. Jesus changes the world, and he changes us. And that's a good thing. Right, the guy I was talking to about Hallmark movies said if you just hang a wreath on the door, it becomes a Christmas movie. But what makes our lives Christian lives is not the decorations we display. It's not even about doing nice things for others. It's about how we do those things because we hope in Christ. We are generous when the rest of the world isn't. We give when the rest of the world is greedy. We sacrifice even when the rest of the world is selfish. Why? Because that's simply what you do as someone who's been given new life. And I think that's a story worth telling, both on and off the Hallmark Channel. So, in the name of the one who makes us new people, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.